want to read a text of Scripture found in the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians. We will read verses 1 through 6. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I would that you all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation, or by knowledge, or by prophesying, or by doctrine? Follow after charity. Follow after love. Due to the division that existed in the church at Corinth, where Paul identified them in chapter 3 of this first epistle as being carnal, he now directs them to follow after charity. Follow after love. In the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, he has outlined in great detail the meaning of Christian love. By following that type of lifestyle and conduct, they would exhibit truly to one another the type of love that they had for each other. It would do away with their carnal nature. The love which is described in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is not a carnal love, but rather it is a spiritual love. It is the love toward which Jesus directed his disciples that they were to have, and which he taught throughout his public ministry, and for that matter, which he demonstrated in his own life. Paul speaks also in this text of Scripture concerning tongues. According to the 8th verse of chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, tongues would cease. During the infancy of the church, before the revelation of God was completed, tongues were used by the Lord God as proof of the message that he delivered unto men. But the time would come when tongues would no longer be needed. And so Paul deals not simply with the speaking of tongues, but more importantly, prophesying or preaching. Paul said this was more important than tongues, because through preaching, men, verse 3, would be edified, they would be exhorted, and they would be comforted. Tongues would identify the truthfulness of God's revelation, but preaching would exhort, preaching would comfort, and preaching would edify. The church would become stronger because of the preaching of God's word. And so God has used preaching, the communication of his will to mankind, throughout time. Earlier in chapter 1 of this epistle at verse 21, the scripture says simply that God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. He uses this term foolishness because in verse 18 of chapter 1, that foolishness would come because of the wisdom of the world. The world would look upon preaching as foolishness. The natural man, whom Paul discusses in the second chapter of 1 Corinthians, who does not receive the Word of God, would of course look upon the communication of God's will to mankind as foolishness. It would not be necessary. The natural man sees no need for the preaching of the revelation of God's will. But God chose preaching to save those that would believe. Those who would accept Christ and confess Christ and believe on Christ, of course, would be saved by the preaching of the gospel. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 3, the Apostle Paul wrote to the young evangelist Titus and says, God in these last times has manifested His word through preaching. The last time simply refers to the latter days or the last dispensation, the final age in which God will have a relationship with man upon the earth. We know that as the Christian age. We know that as the age of the church, the dispensation under which Christ is the head and the authority, and He reigns at the right hand of God. During that period of time, God would make known, God would reveal His will through preaching. In Acts chapter 4, we find that, we find after the death of Stephen that there was a persecution against the church. There we find that Saul made havoc of the church. He sought to wreck the church and bring it into disarray because of the opposition that he had toward the kingdom of God. And then in verse 4 of Acts 8, we find that there was a scattering of the disciples from the city of Jerusalem throughout the various parts of the world because of this persecution. And they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. As they were scattered because of the persecution that came about because of man's opposition to the will of God and to the church of God, they went everywhere. They sought places where they could be free from persecution. They sought refuge from this persecution. But as they went, their voices were not silent. They preached the gospel of Christ. We find in verse 12 of Acts chapter 8 that Philip had gone down to Samaria, and there they believed the things which Philip preached concerning Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. In the third chapter of the book of Ephesians, we find that Paul preached among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of God. And then the apostle wrote to the church at Colossae in chapter 1 at verses 25 through 28. He says, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Verse 28, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we might present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Paul had been made a minister. He had been commissioned to preach. He was that chosen vessel that God told Ananias he would be. And he was chosen as that vessel so that, in his words here, he might preach among the Gentiles the Word of God, or the mystery of God, make known Christ, whom he identifies as the hope of glory. When the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached, it should center around these three great themes that Paul mentions in the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Preaching of the gospel should be so that it might edify, it might exhort, and it might comfort. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, the apostle makes a statement that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. He no doubt includes in that phrase both the Old Testament and the New Testament. There are some today, men of whom are considered to be of great learning, who would attempt to convince us that the Old Testament contains many fables or stories, and it is really just a collection of stories that have been handed down from one generation to another generation, and really it is a collection of stories that men have made. Many learned men hold to this position. Many men who are considered to be wise in our culture hold to this position. But here the apostle says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. The word inspiration simply means God breathed. God revealed His will. God made known unto those who wrote the Bible that which He wanted them to know and which He wanted all men to be instructed. Inspiration is God's revelation of His will through human form so that we might learn and know His standard of living and conduct that would be pleasing and acceptable unto Him. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. None has come from the mind of man, but rather it has come from the mind of the all-knowing God. And then the apostle says that it is profitable. The Word of God has been revealed by God unto us so that we might profit by it. The Bible has been written for our well-being, for our good. Oftentimes in the Old Testament, God through Moses would give His law to the nation of Israel, and Moses would explain to them that the keeping of that law was for their good. They were going to be benefited by listening and obeying what God said unto them. And so it is with us as we examine this passage. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable. It is for my well-being. It is to help me. The areas in which the Scripture aids us is doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be completely furnished unto every good work. The Bible, therefore, is not only inspired, the Bible is not only profitable, but the Bible is a complete revelation. And all that we need to be completely furnished, to be completely well-pleasing unto God, is revealed within this Word. The Bible is profitable for doctrine, for teaching, for reproof, so that we can be reproved. And with that reproof, of course, comes correction and instruction in righteousness. The instruction from God is to make us righteous. We can conform our character to the character of God. We can become as God is through this instruction that He has given. The Bible is actually a manual for right living, and it has been revealed by God. And so it is for our edification, for our exhortation, for our comfort. In the fourth chapter of the Gospel of Romans, beginning with verse 22, and Paul has commented in the earlier verses about the faith of Abraham. He's told us how strong that faith was. As Abraham heard the promise of God, and he believed that God was going to fulfill that promise. Beginning with verse 22, it was imputed to him for righteousness. As Abraham heard God's promise, and as Abraham believed that promise, and that God was able to perform what he had promised, that made Abraham righteous. His acceptance to the promise of God guided and controlled Abraham's life. Because Abraham believed what God had said, therefore he obeyed the instructions that God gave unto him concerning that promise. It involved moving from the land where he was originally. It involved the offering of Isaac. And as Abraham obeyed God's will, he became righteous. But the righteousness that he came to have was based upon his faith in the promises that God had made. Now, it was not written for his sake alone. And so you see, it was written. Not for his sake alone, not only for Abraham that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. God has written so that we might read, so that we might hear the preached word. And as a result of that, if we will believe, as Paul says, that God raised him from the dead, if we will believe that he was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification, then that has the power to make us righteous, even as it made Abraham righteous. In the fourth chapter of the Ephesian letter, at verses 11 and 12, Paul said that when Jesus ascended up on high, when he ascended back to his heavenly Father, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers. Jesus created an order of individuals who could teach His will. The responsibility of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers was to teach the will of God. That was their function. And Jesus set up this order of individuals. Verse 12 declares that the purpose for him appointing these positions for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. These individuals, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, their responsibility was to perfect the saints, perform the work of the ministry, which is preaching, the ministry of spiritual things to carnal man, and the edifying of the body of Christ. This is what Paul said would be the purpose of prophesying. Edification, exhortation, comfort. And then in verse 15, he says, "But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ." So as the truth is spoken in love, those who hear that truth are to grow up in Christ. As we are edified, we grow. As we are exhorted, we grow. As we are comforted, we grow. God had a divine purpose in the edification and the exhortation and the comfort of His church through the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 20, when Paul is making his closing remarks to the elders of Ephesus, he says, "And I commend you to the word of God, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." Paul commended them to God's word. He wanted them to hold fast to the word of God, so that they would be built up, so that they would be edified, so that they would grow as they reflected and as we reflect upon the Word of God, this Word that has come by inspiration, this Word that is profitable for us, then it has the ability to build us up, and it will also give us an inheritance. Abraham was promised an inheritance. That inheritance was based upon his faith in the promise of God. And as we read from Romans chapter 4, that was imputed unto him for righteousness. And so Paul is actually saying the very same truth to us. If we will but believe what God has said in His Word through preaching, then we can be built up, and we have faith in God, which will give us an inheritance. And we're to listen to the counsel of God. Preaching involves God's counsel, God's will. As we look in this 20th chapter of the book of Acts to these statements that are made by the Apostle Paul to the church at Ephesus, beginning with verse 24 and continuing through verse 27, he says, "But none of these things move me." And what Paul is speaking of in that passage of Scripture is the bonds and afflictions that the Holy Ghost said would await him in every city. "None of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." Paul desired to finish his course. He desired to finish the ministry that he had received of the Lord Jesus. And that ministry was testifying the gospel of the grace of God. He said, "I've gone among you preaching the kingdom of God. And as a result, I am pure from the blood of all men. I have not refrained from proclaiming unto you all the counsel of God." Earlier at verse 20, he said, "I have kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house." Paul had faithfully proclaimed the whole counsel of God unto the Ephesians. Preaching is the proclamation of God's counsel. The world considers it foolish, but the Scripture says that it's the power of God unto salvation. It would be preaching that would replace the tongues. And through that preaching, we would be edified, we would be comforted, and we would be exhorted. And as we hear the whole counsel of God, then we are capable of maintaining the righteousness of God. In the short epistle of Titus, at chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, Paul says, this is a faithful saying. These things I will that thou affirm constantly. They need to be affirmed constantly. That they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. But avoid foolish questions, genealogies, contentions, and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. There are those things that are profitable to us, the Word of God. Paul says there are those things which are not profitable. There are those things which are to be affirmed constantly because they are good and profitable unto men. But there are those teachings that are to be avoided because they are unprofitable and they are vain. Preaching is the revelation of that which is profitable, that which is beneficial unto us, that which will form us or conform us into the image that God would have us to be. And through that preaching, we receive the edification, the exhortation, and the comfort that comes by the proclaimed will of God's inspired Word. In the fourth chapter of the Hebrew letter, and the second verse, the writer says, "For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." Unless God's word is mixed with faith, then it will not profit. Unless gospel preaching is believed, it will not profit. Unless God's word that is to edify, comfort, and exhort us is not believed, it holds no profit for us. God has desired that His will be proclaimed, but it must be believed. Those of us who hear the proclaimed will of God must be willing always to believe what God has said. And that word will make us righteous, even as it made Abraham righteous. As we close this lesson, we offer the invitation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if there is a need for any one of us to respond to that invitation, then we encourage you to come as we stand and sing this hymn.